Father, we're thankful for this time you've given us to come together for our worship service and for every opportunity that we have to serve thee. Father, we ask thy blessings upon everyone who is here today. We ask that you would bless each person in a special way, as well as those who had a desire to be here today but were unable. Be with us, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Number two. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels friends proclaim, all his hosts together praise him. Sun and moon and stars are night. Praise him, all ye heavens and heaven, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise his Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted. Far above the earth and sky. Let him praise his gift, Jehovah. They were made at his command. And forever he established his decree shall ever stand.
Before prayer, we'll sing number 614. 614.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. And He will lift you up. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And He died for us. And He died for us. We've been there 10,000 years. We've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun. Bright shining as the sun.
Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we so thank you so much, Father, for another day that the Lord has given us. Another day of invitation to salvation, made possible by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that on this first day of the week, we can give praise, we can give honor unto you, for giving us the desire to wake up this morning and open our eyes and strengthened us, our feet touched the floor, and gave us the strength to prepare ourselves to come here into fellowship one with another, to sing songs and praises, to remember why we're here. We're here, Father, because we love you. We know, Father, without a doubt, that you love us. You demonstrated how much you loved us, Father, by allowing your Son, your only begotten Son, to come to this earth in the form of a man, to walk here on earth among all of mankind, spreading the good news, His gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, offered unto all who believe in Him, knowing that, Father, if we believe in Him, we can have eternal life. Father, we have so many blessings of life that you've given us, Father, in the bread of life, salvation, love, kindness. We're grateful and thankful, Father, that you continue to be patient with this lost and dying world. We know, Father, that any day, Christ Jesus can return. We thank you, Father, that you've given us this day to prepare ourselves once again to be ready when he returns. Father, we want to extend this heartfelt prayer. Father, to the Hopkins family upon the loss of their loved ones. We know, Father, that when we lose a loved one, our heart sometimes becomes heavy laden. You said, Father, that if we seek you out, you could give us rest. We pray, Father, at this time that you will touch the hearts of Sister Ann and her family. Give her the strength and assurance to know that all things work together for the good to those that love you, Lord, and called according to thy will. Father, we want to thank you, Father, for the many, many precious souls on our prayer list that day by day, Father, you look down on them with your tender mercy. Those that are struggling with the pandemic, Father, so many lives have been lost. And we know, Father, that one day that this is going to come to pass. And Father, we pray every day, Lord, that you will give us the willpower that no matter how many storms, trials, and tribulations come our way, we know, Father, that we can always depend on you and your word. We can find comfort and encouragement to know, Father, that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And Father, we just want to thank you for being in our corner day by day and to continue, Lord, to tolerate each and every one of us. And we want to thank you, Father, for this privilege that we have this first day of the week to have this worship service. We want to pray, Father, that all of the words that proceed out of our mouth would be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, all the honor and glory. Amen.
Lord Supper, we'll sing number 300. 300.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of glory died, my riches gained, I comfort lost, and for content on all my heart. Forbid it, Lord, that I should go, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the many things that come before, I sacrifice him to his love. Sweet from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow. Me go down,
This is a Pacific time that we have as Christians to give honor to whom honor is due, to give honor to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to give honor unto Him for what He did for each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8, the Bible reads that God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we was sinners, Christ died for us. At this time, we have the privilege, the honor, and the glory to serve and partake this Lord's Supper. We have two emblems, the bread of life that represents His body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We humble ourselves, Father, in the name of Jesus. We are so grateful and thankful for His precious body that You gave on our behalf, allowing all of mankind to have salvation and eternal life. For this we thank You, Father. We give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody's ready. Let us now give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto You for the fruit of the vine which we have before us, so fitting to represent that precious blood that was shed on Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. As often as we partake of it, may our minds always reflect back to the cross, meditating upon that event that took place, how that sins were remitted. It was part of remission of sin. May we always do it in a way that will be in according to Your will. In Christ's name we do pray. And amen.
If we inadvertently overlooked anyone upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. At this time, seeing no hands, we have another reverence unto God. He's commanded us scripturally to lay by in store, to be prepared to give back unto him the first fruits of our labor on the first day of the week. At this time, we have the privilege and the honor to give as he has commanded us to do so. Let us bow and give thanks. Father God Almighty in heaven, we are so humbled this morning and for so many blessings. And throughout this world, you give all of mankind different talents and different abilities to go out into the world and take care of themselves and their families. We just want you to know, Father, that as Christians, it is truly an honor and a privilege to be able to give back, to be able to know that our giving enables the church to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's mark 856 as song of invitation. 856. And before the lesson, we'll sing 272. Let's stand as we sing this song.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinkings, and it is the cross of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me to
the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, that is Jesus, oh my head. Blessed Jesus, oh my head. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, thine and sing through redemption songs someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my devotee. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valleys into o'er the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I have come of life and wide. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need every hour. Through the wind and the wind, through the
scripture reading for this morning's sermon be taken from the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter 1, and verses 21 through 26. And that's Philippians, chapter 1, and verses 21 through 26. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. Philippians 1, 21 through 26. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by my coming to you again. And now our brother Norman, in his sermon this morning, is titled, Five Essentials for Joyful Living.
Say good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see those who are present this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. We're just glad that you're able to tune in to our worship service on this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. Glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I want to thank Brother Nick last week for filling in as I preached at South Main Church of Christ there in Gladewater, Texas. He had an interesting subject, an interesting thought when he dealt with the comparison of human blood and the blood of Jesus Christ. So we just thank him for that. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us once again to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. Lord, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us and our situation. At the conclusion of this message, Lord, we just pray that something has been said that can touch our hearts, that we've not been living like we should, that we get our lives together before it's everlastingly too late. Gather your word, the things that I say, and get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most people don't really enjoy life. They endure life. Most people, they go through life with no sense of joy. Life becomes a series of chores, obstacles that one must go through. They go through it just to endure it. There is no happiness. There is no joy. Many people believe that happiness is based on perfect circumstances. If everything is perfect, then I will be happy. Perhaps there may be some truth to that. We like to find ourselves in good situations and in good circumstances, but having joy should not be based on perfect circumstances. Because you see, happiness is external, but joy is internal. And so Paul talks a lot about joy in the book of Philippians. And even though the circumstances he found himself in was rough circumstances, but he still spoke about joy. When you look at Paul's life and you look at the background that Paul had, Paul for the last 4 years has been in a miserable condition. His circumstances were far from perfect. We find that he spent 2 years in the prison of Caesarea on a trumped up charge. He is then put on a ship to go to Rome to appear before Nero, who is not known for his nice treatment of Christians. And on the way, he's shipwrecked. He's stranded on an island. He is bitten by a poisonous snake. He wakes the winter there. He continues on to Rome, and he spends another 2 years in prison awaiting trial to be executed. And during these 2 year periods in Rome, he is chained to a guard 24 hours a day. He has absolute no privacy. Every 4 hours, he gets a new guard. Well, the question comes in, how is Paul able to show joy? What's Paul's secret? How does he stay positive in prison? How does he triumph over his troubles? How does he delight in his difficulties? How does he stay so happy, so positive, so joyful, in spite of the fact of everything that has not turned out the way it should have? Well, our passage this morning, it gives us 5 essentials of living a joyful life. Well, here is the first essential that I want you to make note of. The first essential is this: look at life from God's perspective. Look at life from God's perspective. Because, folks, here is a fact. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us sitting in here this morning, we have a problem. Some of your problems are big. Some of your problems are small. But yet, they are still problems. Some of you are finding it hard to worship today because you no doubt have brought some problems in here with you today. But here is the secret. The secret is the way you look at the problem is much more important than the problem itself. Your perspective about the problem makes a difference. Your view of the problem makes a difference. Your understanding of your problems makes a difference. Your focus on your problem can make all the difference in the world, because your problems are not as important as how you look at your problems, because God is big enough. He's big enough to turn them inside out. He's big enough to flip them over, shake them up, make a bad situation good. And if he can do it on the cross of Calvary, then he is big enough to do it in your life and my life too. And then
we find essential number two. Essential number two is that live life with God's priority. Live life with God's priorities. Because in life, I need to know what really is important and what is not. You need to know what's really important and what is not. Because if you don't choose your priorities, you'll spend a lot of time spinning your wheels. You will go around putting out one fire after another and living life simply from problem to problem to problem and not choosing what's important. Listen to me. If you want something to steal your joy quicker than anything else, just listen to everyone that criticizes you. Believe me, other people are going to criticize you. If you do this, they'll criticize you. If you do that, they'll criticize you. If you do nothing, they'll criticize you. So why don't you just do what God wants you to do and not pay attention to all of the criticism. Set your priorities on God's priorities. In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Essential number three. Essential number three. Seek God's power to live on. Seek God's power to live on. See, I need strength to make it through life. And I believe you need strength to make it through life. I need power to keep on going. Because life can wear you out. Life can drain you completely. One crisis after another will deplete your energy. And so you need a fresh power supply. Listen to what Paul says there in verse number 19. Paul says, for I know this in chapter 1, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now Paul says that I have two things that gives me strength that kept me going. Number one, the prayers of other people. Secondly, God's supply through his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Prayers are powerful. I hope you believe that. Prayers are not only powerful, but prayers can change some things. Jesus said, we need to pray for strength. We need to pray that we will have strength and wisdom. And we need to have other people pray for us too. Why? Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that we are to pray for one another. Because not only if we pray for one another, it encourages to us and it encouraging to know that God's people are praying to God for you. We always need to rely on the God's power to live our lives. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you look at Psalms 28 and verse number 7, the psalmist says, the Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am him. Therefore, my heart gladly, greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. So God, he wants to give you power to live by. He wants you to live a life that is full of joy with a song in your heart. And we need God's power in our lives today. But then there is essential number four. Essential number four is live a life of God's hope. Live a life of God's hope. See, not only do I need God's power, but I also need God's hope. Look at the text. Again, when you look at verse 19, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." So this is a message of hope. It's a message of faith. Because Paul, he knew that he would be delivered. And because of this, he could step out with boldness. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. See, hope and faith go hand in hand. You can't live a joyful life without hope. You've got to have hope to cope. Am I right? God has given us, promised us a brighter future. And we should live in that hope. Because the moment hope is gone, you are doomed. Where do you get hope to keep on going on? Where do you get hope when things in your life seem to be going in the wrong direction? You get hope from the Lord. It's reliable. And we as Christians, more than any other people, should be a people of hope. Hope that one day, when this whole world is over, I don't have to worry about no more heartaches and no more headaches. I don't have to worry about no more pain and no more tears, because God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. That's hope. That's something to look forward to. But you got to go through some stuff while you're down here on this earth. But then, I found essential. I found essential is this. Find God's purpose for your life. Find God's purpose for your life. Paul is sure of his purpose in life. Do you want to know what his purpose was? It's right here in verse 21. Look at verse 21. He says, For to me to live is Christ, and die is gain. For me to live is Christ. That's his purpose, to live for Christ. What we need to realize is that every one of us are living for something or someone. Every person who has lived in the past, who is living in the present, who will be living in the future, fills the blank of this thing. For to me to live is blank. You know what that blank is. Are you living for money, pleasure, whatever? You know what you're living for. So when you're filling this blank, for me to live is blank. What are some of the words you have used to fill in the blank? Paul says, Christ. I'm living for Christ. To live is Christ. So here's the question. What would it look like for a person to say to live is Christ? Well, it means that a person's whole life is wrapped up in living for Christ. Living for Christ is their purpose and their focus. What is your purpose in life? Why are you here? At times, church, we can lose focus on our purpose because of distraction, difficulties, and decisions. Paul had a handle on his purpose. For to me to live is Christ. Our purpose this morning is to glorify God by making disciples of all people and strengthening churches so that believers worship God, win unbelievers to Christ, and become more like Christ. When Christ is our central focus, we ought to have a grand attitude toward our circumstances, a gracious attitude toward our critics, and a grateful attitude toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our main goal here on this earth, here from now on, is to magnify Jesus in word, in deed, with joy in our heart. And our goal should be to strive to live in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, and through Christ. So the question comes this morning. Do you want a joy-filled life? If you do, it begins with having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The question comes, have you given your life to him? Because he says, I come to give you life, and I come to give it to you more abundantly. Have you given your life to him? How do you give your life to him? You've heard a portion of God's word. Believe it to be true, Romans 10:17. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Water and water of the grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. You come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then the Lord adds you to his church. Then you live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian, maybe you have lost joy. This morning I've given you 5 essentials for joyful living. If you're subject to the invitation, come right now and we stand and sing the song. The encouragement, won't you?
There's a fountain of freedom for you and me that makes no distinction. Will you come?